The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you, as always, by Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Again, Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Not only do you get the self-satisfaction that you helped one of the best wrestling programs ever, but also you get access to the patron-only Discord. If that sounds scary to you, well, then let me just let you know what it is. It's the best place to watch live wrestling with your friends. It's not annoying internet horse shit with a bunch of people looking. Is it just me, or is this is WWE overbooking Alexa Bliss? Fuck that. This is just good old-fashioned friends having good old-fashioned time. Sometimes there's a couple books read. People get a little saucy. It's a fun time, no matter what. Go ahead. Become a patron. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing, buddy?
I'm muted, but I'm great. Okay, unmuted now and back and ready for action. I'm fantastic, man. It was thought to me that I was going to be in Burnett, Texas today for a family get together thing, but in fact, I'm going tomorrow. So.
Nice.
Get to make all of my podcasts. I'll do the Angry Chicken tomorrow, and then I'm driving up after that. So good to be here. Good to talk wrestling.
Well, let me just play this for you. I don't know. Sometimes this works. Sometimes this doesn't. So you might be able to hear it, but everybody listening will. I just couldn't stop laughing at this line from Being the Elite. This just dropped today. This is, if you are only listening, Juice Robinson, your new... your new New Japan United States champion walking out to go talk to Bad Luck Fale.
Oh, fuck, big man. I haven't seen your ass for a long time. Holy hell, man. Fuck, you've been dude. Dropping some LBs. My God, you're looking good. I bet the pussy's coming after you now, huh? Okay, anyway.
For whatever reason, that just fucking killed me. Could you hear that, Willie, or is that muted?
Yeah. that's so he's clearly a Japanese national treasure at this point. We've given him away. I don't know if we're ever going to get him back. but you know what? He's killing it over there.
Oh my God. A bunch of the pussies coming after you now. All right. Let's talk about Extreme Rules that happened last night. I'm gonna level with you, the audience, first. Before Willie, I'm gonna have to at some point pay for a massage, because Willie's gonna have to carry my ass this episode. I have watched jack shit this weekend, but we're gonna be able to get through it because Willie did watch Extreme Rules last night.
I did. Yes.
Give me the people. I didn't watch it myself, so I just went onto the internet. It apparently was the worst thing. It was like the BT. It was like the SCU sketches from the BTE series. This pay per view is the worst thing ever. People seem to be upset, despite the fact we got a couple title changes. We had what seemed to be. A really, really, really well done Iron Man match for the Intercontinental title. It seemed like it was just a good time.
Well, all right. Okay. I know that on this show, one of our things is to not dwell on the negative, right?
Sure.
And I don't want to dwell on it, but I do think that there are legitimate gripes. And I think the legitimate gripes are really just that there's a lot that WWE does that just feels like, and I, you know, they're juggling a lot of storylines, right? And you think about what, so we went to the G1 special in San Francisco.
Yeah.
We also went and saw Hood Slam.
Yeah.
When you're like a hood slam, you're putting on two shows a month, right?
Yeah.
And
sometimes
and also you can kind of do anything, right? Because anything goes in that environment, and there's no, you don't have a board of directors and blah 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 looking over. Yeah, fuck Wiggles, by the way. and you know you don't have a bunch of people you have to appease, right? And WWE doesn't have that luxury. So in a way, like, you can't expect all of their storylines to all pop off awesomely every single time and all be like not everything can be fire, right?
Yeah.
And I expect that. And I understand that. And I don't, you know, but there is a certain point when I'm watching, say, Sanity versus New Day on the pre-show, and I'm like, man, when Sanity came out in NXT, it was like, oh my God, these guys are gonna take over everything, and these guys from the wasteland, and they're scary as hell, and blah blah. And then on the main roster, they're just three guys who wrestle,
yeah.
Right? And it's just, you know what I mean. So it's like, I guess you, when your expectations get set at a certain level, because, you know, imagine like if you saw, Shinsuke Jeff Hardy in an indie match,
sure.
Right? And like what they would do, right? And then you see them in this, and you're like, oh man, or AJ Rusev at an indie match, and like, you know, like you start thinking about the talent they have.
Yeah.
You start thinking about like what's possible, and then you, and I think that's where people get this like negative connotation, right? Where they're watching it, and they're thinking of all the things that are possible, but what they're not thinking of is how WWE has to put on 52 Raws and 52 SmackDowns and 12 pay-per-views and 150 house shows.
And by the way, that takes precedent, because if you saw what they just signed their new deals for,
yeah,
that's what brings the money into the company.
Sure, sure. So it's to me, it's like I understand both sides of the coin, right? And so I get why people are pissed, but I also understand that like it's unrealistic to expect that every single time you're going to get a dream match, it's going to be a dream match in WWE.
Sure.
These guys are going to fight multiple times. You're going to get an angle. You're going to get a feud. You're going to get that. And, you know, so there was this, some people were talking shit about Cien Almas and Sin Cara was actually a worse match than they had on SmackDown. Yeah, probably. But I think it's just one of many of the matches that they're going to be having. And it was a really good showing for Almas. It was a really good match. It was in front of almost nobody, which was kind of unfortunate.
Were they on the pre-show? Or
they were the first match of the entire night on the pre-show. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And people were still filing into the arena. It was very clear that there weren't that many people in there yet. The other thing, too, is that you know, they have to deal with setbacks and injuries. And so Kane actually legitimately hurt his foot. And they had to figure out how to make that work. So they went with a weird angle where Kane got hit with a mace before the, or a sledgehammer or whatever, before the show. Came out, was all limping around and stuff and couldn't do much. And, you know, that wasn't the match that was originally supposed to happen. So it's like things like this happen. Also, I don't know if you heard about Shinsuke Hardy. Do you care about spoilers?
No. Yeah, no. I'm aware that we have new Raw Tag Champions and that we have a new United States champion.
New United States champion. But basically, Shinsuke and Hardy didn't even have a match.
Yeah.
Shinsuke,
so that was my question. Is Jeff injured?
Yeah, he's having back problems apparently. Like he said, he's not going to be doing Swanton bombs during house shows and stuff. And apparently not during pay-per-views either, because he just got hit in the balls and then he took a Kinshasa and that was it.
Yeah.
And then Randy Orton comes out and stares down Nakamura and you're like, oh, okay, here we go. We're setting up Nakamura versus Randy Orton. Randy Orton turns around and stomps Jeff Hardy in the balls.
Really?
Yeah. And so I don't know exactly where that's headed, but okay, I guess we're getting... I think the idea is we're kind of going to get a heel versus heel type of match here, where Orton's proving to Shinsuke that he will go just as low as Shinsuke is going. I think that's the setup. Anyway, that's what it felt like to me. But
have they wrestled before?
What's that?
Nakamura and Orton.
Maybe they have, just on like a Raw or a SmackDown or something. I don't think they've ever had any feuds or anything. But
yeah,
it was just, you know, there was just a lot of stuff where you're like, man, I wish it was this. But to those people, I just say, like, you were the people that like shit on the new Star Wars, right? You were the people that like shit. You know what I mean? Like, you were the people that would like, go see a comic book movie and it's not exactly like the comic book, and then you get mad. It's like, at a certain point, this is the entertainment being presented to you. Yes, you can choose not to like it, but like, I don't know, like shitting on the product doesn't really do any service to anybody. It's just kind of
here's my pet peeve, as we often like to bitch about the bitchers on this show, but. My pet peeve is when on Reddit, there's always the qualifier up front. The like, maybe it's just me, or is it just me, or something like that, where it's like, it's always just say what you mean.
Sure.
I didn't like this. I thought it was bad. But it's like, there's just this weird way of like, oh no, like, am I the first? Am I the brave first soul to come out and say what everybody's been thinking?
Well, there is this kind of thing that's pervasive now in because everybody has an opinion and everybody's putting it online, right?
Yeah.
Because we're at the point where everyone's commenting on Reddit, everyone's tweeting, everyone's doing this. So everyone's a critic, right? Everyone's got an opinion. And people feel cooler when they hate something than when they love something. Like, when you love something, people kind of feel, I noticed like a thing where people are kind of sheepish about telling other people that they really loved something.
Yes. Well,
because
you
then somebody else comes at them and is like, you're an idiot for liking that. And so like people are like almost guarded when they tell somebody that they really loved something.
Well,
because they're aware that they might get criticized for
to
it.
Express,
whereas the haters
are
so just sure of it and sure of themselves
because they're choosing
to hate it.
There's no vulnerability in destruction. So it's like, if I say, if I say like, oh, I really, really loved Raw, right?
Yeah.
Now I am opening, I am making myself vulnerable for other people to say, what the fuck are you talking about? It was boring. It's long. I'm tired of Kurt Angle. I'm like, what are they doing with the Universal title? And then even if you had interest for all that, well, fuck it. I like to watch the G1 better. And this wasn't as better as the 90s. It wasn't as better as the 70s and the 60s. And yeah, I mean, like, there's always a reason.
It was always better. Something's always better.
Well, there's just always a way to poke the belly if you show it, right?
Yeah.
But if you hate something, you're not showing any of yourself. You're just saying, no, I hate this.
Yeah, you're just shitting on something and it, you know, you're suddenly like above it, right? Like, it makes people feel superior, I think, in a way, right?
100%.
And I get it. I understand why, because when you hate something, you do feel above it. And anybody who loved it, you're like, oh, well, you're an idiot, right? And so I think it makes people feel good about themselves, whereas loving something opens people up. Like, the vulnerability thing is super, super huge about that. And it's something that I talk about a lot, that like snobbery is like the worst possible thing you can have. If you really love something, it's actually courageous to be outwardly in love with it, right? Like, that is opening yourself up to potentially getting criticized, right? So I just want to say, I get why people didn't enjoy this one so much. I do think that there was some stuff that, you know, could have been better. But in the end, I thought that there was a lot of really fun matches. And I thought that, you know, there was some stuff that surprised me in how good it was. I did not think Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns was going to be as fun of a match as it was. And it was totally fun.
I'll tell you what. I saw, I mean, they had on Reddit that spot where fucking Roman, like, fireman carry tossed Lashley to the outside. Like,
sure. Yeah.
That was insane. That's a crazy
spot.
So
it was a no DQ match, but they didn't do any no DQ-y type stuff. So I think that was one thing people were saying. Like, they didn't know chairs or tables or, you know, kendo sticks came
out. And then,
out.
By the
like,
way,
whatever.
I saw Kevin Owens legit taking the Mick Foley Hell in a Cell bump in Pittsburgh. Like,
this was the highlight of the entire night for me, because it was crazy. You know, you expected some sort of Braun destroying Kevin spot, right?
Yeah.
I did not think he was going to get thrown off the top of the goddamn cage.
I mean, stop me if I'm wrong. I think that's how high the Foley.
Oh, absolutely, it is.
Yeah, because they make it bigger now.
Yeah. It was definitely as high, and you know, now there is. They show the replay a bunch of times, and you can see that it's like a specially set up table with like a fall pad type of thing or whatever. That all that doesn't matter. You still have to hit the table. You still are being chucked from like a very precarious position. And if you watch the replay, one of the best things about it was how good Kevin Owens is at doing this. He hits that thing perfectly. Spreads the arms, like takes the butt, you know, spreads the impact throughout his body. Doesn't just take it all on the back of his neck or something. It was beautiful, and it was also scary as fucking dangerous and everything all at once. It was great. That I thought was a super fun match. The B team winning the tag team titles was a beautiful moment. Line of the night gets asked how he feels. Curtis Axel responds with, how does a rainbow feel? How did Stretch Armstrong feel when he walked on the moon?
Just great.
It was beautiful. Also, the crowd was super hot for Bray Bo when they had a mini little face off there for a second. And Bo actually tagged out. So there's a lot of fun moments in this. Obviously, you also then have Asuka continuing to get quote unquote buried.
Well, yeah. So what happened there? Because I didn't see any of that match. There really were no clips on Reddit of that.
I mean, it wasn't very exciting. So you had instead of a sexy pinata, you had a chinless pinata as James Ellsworth was suspended above the ring in a shark cage. By the way, I'd never heard of the shark cage thing until that Jericho.
They have the new toy.
And now it's been used. Enzo's been in a shark cage.
Well, I think the first one I remember was NXT had the Authors of Pain dude in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It was TM61 or whatever they call it.
Paul Ellering was in
there. Yeah, Paul Ellering was in it.
So it's just because they have it, they got to use it, right?
Well, they're selling a toy set. There's a new toy set or one that came out last year. So I guess they have it, and
shark cage match. Got to do the shark cage match.
Fuck it.
So he's up in the cage. He's chucking like weapons and things down for Carmella to use. Eventually, some guys come and they like get he's hanging out of the cage. Asuka forgets about Carmella because apparently Asuka is she needs blinders, right? Like she needs to come out next time with those little horse blinders. She can't see anything but like the person, the opponent in front of her.
Yeah.
Because apparently she's easily distracted. So she's kicking Ellsworth while he's hanging from the cage, and Carmella comes up behind her and pushes her into the cage and 1, 2, 3. So Carmella wins again. It's just, I don't know. I guess people are upset because they're not getting the person that they want.
Well, but that's why you had to beat her, right?
Yeah.
Like you, otherwise there's not a lot of places you can go. You can't set up longer term stuff, and you can quibble with the execution, but ultimately
people want streak Asuka back. That's the thing. They want Asuka to have never lost in the first place and continue to be undefeated forever.
Sure. And I would like it if Goldberg still never lost.
That's what I'm saying about the whole, you know, this, you are not writing the show. So if you think you could write a better show, by all means, like go out and write a show, right?
There are many,
and
many independent
hire a bunch
outfits
of wrestlers and book the show the way you want it to be and, you know, do your thing. I think, you know, it's one of those things where I prefer not to try to write the entertainment.
Dizzle Smash says, I think it sucks that both women's champions are all charisma and no skills and so-so skills in the ring. I would even be curious. I mean, certainly either of them are indie darlings, right? We do not have indie darlings as the champions. Of course, it gives people, you know, someone to chase, right?
Yeah.
There is that element of it. But I don't know. I mean, I think it is odd that there are two similar champions. If you're going to have two women champions, then, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like you can do a couple different things.
I'm with that. Like, I do think that Carmella and Alexa are similar in the fact that they're smaller than everybody else. their whole shtick is that they're kind of assholes. You know, it's like that kind of thing. So I'm with that. It would be nice to have a little variety there. But I'll tell you, the only actual result that disappointed me was that I really wanted Rusev to win, because I thought it would have been a really cool, like, because it's unexpected, right? AJ Styles, I think everybody thought was going to win. And then you've got Rusev kind of overcoming like a bum knee. Then you've got Aiden English pulling the turnbuckle off to expose the metal bolt. And then Rusev runs into it, at which point you could pull a big swerve and have Rusev still pull it out despite all the odds and still win. And then he's mega face Rusev at that point, right? And
sure.
That could be really fun.
It could.
So, you know, watching that, I was like, so I was like a little bit like, darn. But, you know, I'm also like,
that had "we're going somewhere else" written all over it, right? I mean, like, that match was Vince thanking Rusev for getting himself over. Like, hey, look, you get a championship match. We're going to focus. It's going to feature.
And they made him look good. He looked great. You know,
it's going to look great.
He is great.
But I mean, like, look, considering you don't have to look hard, but AJ's SummerSlam opponent seems to have already been chosen, if some of the graphics that are circulating around the internet are to be believed.
Yeah. But all in all, I mean, I feel like this was just a middling pay-per-view. This was like this is a mid-card style pay-per-view that delivered what I expected from it, which was some fun matches and some interesting moments and some storyline progressions. There is something to be said about the Iron Man match being kind of lame.
Yeah.
In that Kurt Angle just comes out and like says, "No, everyone deserves a winner." And like suddenly McIntyre comes back. I don't know. That was a little bit funky in that how that whole thing finished. I really like the Iron Man finishes where it's like down to the wire and then something crazy happens with no time left on the clock. But more annoying than anything about that match was just the crowd shitting on the match, which was.
So, yeah, let me ask you about this, because that's something that I saw a lot of. A lot of people were talking that it was, and even in our chat here, people are saying that it was just a shitty crowd. I don't quite understand how you do an Iron Man match that lasts for 30 minutes when both of those guys like are so, you know, they're famous for doing big, long, gigantic matches, right? Like, we just watched Seth Rollins like a few months ago wrestle three dudes for over an hour.
Yeah. And like, Dolph Ziggler is the guy who always seems to come in first or second in the Royal Rumble and last until like the last five guys. He's done that several times.
So it's like, it doesn't shock me that they extended it and they made a bigger thing about it. I'm glad to see that. But everybody kept talking about the fucking clock. So apparently they had the clock, but the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania crowd was obsessed with counting down from 10 to 0.
Yeah, every single time it got to 10 seconds left in whatever current minute they were at, they just all were doing the Royal Rumble thing. So they were 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and and the whole crowd was going, eh.
Gotcha.
And I mean, it was funny a couple times, and then it just kept happening. And then apparently that's why they turned the clock off. And then the crowd started chanting, "There's no clock, there's no clock." Then they just started counting 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, eh, at random times.
Oh, Jesus.
And then they turned the clock back. The whole thing was just like, it was so distracting from what was actually a pretty sweet match with a pretty fun little storyline, in that Seth got up early and then McIntyre basically inserts himself into the equation. Ziggler comes back. Seth comes back again. And then ultimately they're drawn at the end in 30 minutes. And then Ziggler finds a way to win. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's, that kind of shit is annoying. Like, this is one thing I will say, like, when you watch the Japanese product.
Yeah.
Is the crowd never seems to insert themselves into the product, right? Like,
there's
something good and bad about that. Yeah, there's this was the bad.
There's no, like, hijacking from the point of it. You know, there's yelling and there's chanting.
But and I love yelling and chanting. But I hate when the crowd decides that they're the star of the show. This was a thing that was going on for a while in NXT, right, where people were getting really upset with the Full Sail crowd being like, we're the star of this show.
Yeah.
We're the rabid NXT fan, right? So it's one of those things. Like, it's a different culture around wrestling.
This yeah, I mean, I would say that would be the real key. The key would be you need Japanese people in all of these crowds here.
We gotta start shipping Japanese wrestling fans over here. No, but it's also funny too that it's why longer shows work in Japan, because the American crowds like wear themselves out by like the fifth match.
You know, that is an interesting point, because I do think in Tokyo, it felt like the crowd was saving itself for the main event. Like that it's like, all right, well, let's not, we will successively cheer more and more, but Okada Naito, that gets
yes.
everything. We're emptying, we had to make sure that we ration, so we save enthusiasm for Okada Naito.
It's a slow build, right?
Yeah.
Is what it is, yeah. Yeah, and that's not what you get. Like, basically, right away, everyone, especially at, like, an indie show, it's like people are just going nuts for the very first match. And I've noticed that if I do that, I am wiped by, you know, five matches in or something like that. So I'm taking more of a, like, you saw how me and you were at the Japan show. Like, that's yeah. an American crowd at the Japanese show. But, you know, we were definitely most hyped for the last match. Like, I kind of just sat there drinking and eating and then kind of watching, and then get to those last few matches, and then it's time to cheer.
Well, yeah, that was for the, all right, we actually didn't, I don't know if we talked about this on the audio diary episode last week, but the fucking food and drink lines.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, Jesus. It kept people out of the arena for matches at a time. It was insane.
Yeah, so I actually went, what was the other guy's, Dan, is that his name, who was sitting with us?
Gabe.
Gabe, thank you. So me and Gabe actually went down to get, and I was like, you know what, I'm not getting back in this line. I'm going to order like a million things right now. So like I got like two beers, popcorn, and a hot dog,
yeah.
and like something else or whatever. But yeah, we were in that line, it wrapped around. I got a freaking fly coming at me. It wrapped around, and then there was like a big like gap where people could walk through or whatever, but it wrapped all the way around this whole thing. It was like a 45, 50 minute something. We missed the entire Jeff Cobb match because we wanted to make sure we got out back for the Young Bucks match.
Yeah.
And we still missed the first like 10 minutes of the Young Bucks match. It was crazy.
Yeah. No, it was nuts. All right, here, news coming in hot. WWE has officially announced the return of NXT's War Games.
Ooh.
Survivor Series weekend. Of course, it was last year that the Undisputed Era defeated Sanity and Roderick Strong and the Authors of Pain. You got to assume that the Undisputed Era will still be there. And
sure.
A reminder that War Games was effectively created because of the Four Horsemen. Right, they just
yeah.
this is a great a showcase for the Four Horsemen.
Well, now they got four of them. If Fish is back,
who would you like to see on NXT in that match? Because the other two teams from last year are no longer around.
Yeah, well, I expect that Ciampa and Gargano will still be there, so I wouldn't mind seeing like a Team Ciampa, Team Gargano type of thing, where they go out and recruit some guys. And then there was
so that
the
would
teams.
Be more like a Survivor Series kind of match where you're putting together the heels and the baby faces.
Yeah, you gotta think though that Mustache Mountain right now is doing a lot.
Yeah, Clinch suggesting British Strong Style. So
yeah,
that would
yeah.
be...
they're doing a ton of matches right now and they're awesome. You got what's his name, Orny Loken, and
he got injured recently,
oh.
didn't he?
What?
I think Oni got injured.
Sorry. Yeah, Oni. Lorcan's out. Damn.
You know, I'll tell you, I wonder...
That makes me sad.
You know, every once in a while you see, like, the stuff that they're testing out at house shows.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when Sami Callihan was still in... still in NXT, he, briefly had... Seth Rollins' racist ex-girlfriend, like as a as a valet, and they've been doing a Brazilian faction.
Okay,
that like looked pretty fucking cool.
That's interesting. I see. I think that the issue here, though, is that you're not gonna get, you're probably not gonna get guys like Velveteen Dream and Ricochet and Aleister Black, because they're probably gonna have, they're going to be the ones doing singles matches.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God. Reverend Puck pointed this out. I did read this. Yeah, Seth's ex-girlfriend.
Sonya Deville's current?
Is Sonya Deville's current girlfriend.
Yeah. She loves wrestlers. What can you say?
Oh, my God. Totally.
That's awesome. I think it's just, you're gonna probably be pulling from all the tag team guys. So yeah, that's
you
interesting.
Could,
there's a lot
see,
of different
you
ways
somebody,
you can match people up.
You could see someone with Heavy Machinery. Oh, I'll tell you what. How's this for a little trio? Heavy Machinery and Lars. Lars and Heavy Machinery.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That could be a thing for sure.
Yeah, big boy.
Do they still have Sabatelli and
Sabatelli and Moss? Yeah.
Yeah. Are those guys? I haven't seen those guys in a while. Are they hurt?
One of them might be in the Brazilian. I think one of them might be in.
I'm
the,
looking at
somebody.
Up right
somebody
now.
Look up my fantasy booked NXT Brazilian stable.
Is inactive with a broken orbital bone. That doesn't seem like that's going to heal quickly. Tino Sabatelli is inactive with a pectoral injury.
Uh oh.
There you go. So yeah, I mean, I guess it's. It seems to me, they're going to probably have to pull some teams together, but Mustache Mountain seems like that makes sense. Obviously, Undisputed Era. And then, you need a third team, right?
By the way, though, before we get to
EC3
Survivor
could
Series.
Could have some stuff in there, maybe?
Before we get to Survivor Series, we do have to get to SummerSlam. And SummerSlam means, really, the crown jewel of NXT's schedule, Takeover Brooklyn, which has historically been their big show, will now be challenged, as it has been the last few years, with an ROH show. But this is not just an ROH show. Announced this week, Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling team up to co-host a show at Madison Square Garden.
This has to just eat Vince alive, like that they're gonna do that.
That's Mania weekend, not SummerSlam weekend. Sorry, I got it confused because they're both in New York this year.
Yeah,
but still, that's
when's the last time there was a non-WWE Madison Square Garden event?
A very long time ago. I think it was 50 years that it's been since.
Yeah.
Somebody other than WWE ran MSG. MSG apparently has been annoyed that WWE has basically moved all of their operations out to Brooklyn. But this is going to be insane. John Cena is going to wrestle in NXT. Like, there's like something insane is going to happen.
Didn't he say that he wanted to? Or that he was willing to?
Oh, I think he'd love to. I mean, like, he's one of those, like, he's like The Rock, where he just knows where people would be the most excited.
By the way, dude, have you seen the movie Rampage?
I have not, no.
So I downloaded it the other night and watched it. It's not, like, a good movie.
Yeah.
But there's just something about The Rock where just anything he's in, you're like, I'm watching this and I'm enjoying it.
He's The Rock?
He's The Rock. Yep. He's Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Triple H said he couldn't afford Cena, says Clinch in our chat room. Well, listen, there's no way. Like, they are going to want people to want to stand outside of Barclays instead of getting a front row seat to ROH. But at the same time,
that's,
you
got to
figure
point.
That show's going to be insane.
That's a good point. Like, if you're, how do you get people not to go to the Ring of Honor at all?
I mean, because you got to figure
John Cena wrestles NXT,
that
right?
could be one of those like title for title, like IWGP versus ROH, situations.
Yeah, they're going to do something with that. That's kind of exciting, though. I like the fact that there is actual competition again, right?
Right?
It feels good. Like, WCW, WWE, that was super fun. It was a little bitter. There was, like, a lot of, you know.
I mean, and also universally recognized as one of the greatest eras of professional wrestling ever. Exactly. So, like, look, you're never going to compete with the WWE on television. You're not.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, they sure are competing with them. Like, you know, I was thinking about, you know, whenever anybody talks about the Bucks and Omega and Cody and everything, the question is always like, well, what would it take for them to come to the WWE, right? I think that it would be that they just get to do. I mean, imagine if WWE allowed them to just keep doing being the Elite.
Yeah, right.
Like, why wouldn't? I mean, this is another thing. It's like, just why aren't they giving Matt Hardy money to go shoot his goofy ass videos in his house?
Okay, yeah, that to me is like the biggest. If you really want to talk disappointment in a WWE pay-per-view. It's that Woken Matt Hardy is nowhere near as cool and interesting and funny as Broken Matt Hardy
was. But the thing is, like, they did the one, and it was great. And it was awesome.
It was good.
It was really, really fun. And it reinvigorated fucking Bray's character. Like,
and I don't know if they're going to have Bray and Matt go back at it again. Did you see there was the tweet that Matt Hardy made after?
No.
After the pay-per-view, he said something like, it may be time for us to move on. Basically, that's all it said. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I mean, I've been tweeting at the Bucks of Youth lately, talking about
all in.
Still very aware of them and wanting to, you know, engage with them and maybe do stuff with them. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Does that mean it's time for him and Bray to split up? Does it mean that him and Bray need to leave WWE? Does it mean that they need to?
I don't think that they
I
are.
Doubt
that
that's
either
the
of
case.
Them
yeah.
are going anywhere. I think that Bray.
No, I don't think so either.
Bray's got a job for life there because he's, you know, multi generational guy. He's a great hand in the ring, and I think that they always, you know, Bray Wyatt is like. He's like, you know, you ever go to like a restaurant, and you always have like your number one favorite thing. That you could always get, right? You always wind up getting. And then you got, like, that other thing that, like, you kind of think, like, maybe I should order the turkey burger or something, right? It's like maybe I should order the meatloaf. Bray Wyatt is meatloaf and not the singer, the food. It's like you never really think I should make meatloaf. But every once in a while you have a fond remembrance of a time you had meatloaf and it was really good. And, like, that's, I think Bray will always just be that thing that's like, well, should we? No, let's.
Bray is a bat out of hell. I get it. Yeah. Bray, it's, you know, Bray, like.
Yes.
No, I hear what you're saying. Like, he's just. Yeah, you're not really sure if you should really take a big chance with him. And
he's just, he's perpetually the shocked girlfriend in the meme where the dude's looking behind. Like at the new girl, like he's always just like, but I'm here. I just fucking put the rock. Give me the rock.
Yeah, give me the ball. Let me go. So I talked about it on this show a while ago, but I really want him to just be a straight up serial killer. Like I want him to just unleash that Bray Wyatt.
What's missing from Bray Wyatt is real violence instead of implied violence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I want I want them to be vignettes of him like murdering and torturing people or something, but I want there to be like a lot of like questions, right? like I want it to be like when you're watching the movie Zodiac and then there's that guy and he's kind of creepy and you're like, did he do it? And you like know that there's been murders and you know people are missing and Bray doesn't really have an alibi and. You know, like, I kind of want something like that where, like, he just seems actually scary, right? And you don't know what he's really going to do.
If they are breaking them up, I hope it's because they have bigger plans for Bray.
Sure.
Because I think
at some point they have. I mean, the guy's just kind of he's going with the flow. He's doing what he's got to do. He's maintaining his character. I'm gonna tell you something, man. So he's he's just always gonna be fun for me. But yeah, like I loved when he had the butcher apron on and he's got the weird glove with the thumb, but like that's it. And like all this stuff that's just like he probably chokes people. You know,
he probably chokes them. He chokes them to death and he wears the smock so he can rinse the blood off easily.
And he probably laughs the whole time he's doing it. And, you know, he tells them that he's saving them and all that. Kind of, you know, I want I want there to be some just really weird, creepy stuff where you're like, I don't know if I can trust this guy. You know, that's where I want him to go.
I have not been particularly thrilled with the deleters of worlds. And I would not be heartbroken if they broke him up. It befuddles The Rock that they just don't let Matt do the thing that got him over, that brought him back to the fucking company.
Yeah. Unleash both of these men. They're both so good at what they do. Like, and that's the other thing, too. Yeah. Like, I want Bray to go into fits of rage where you're like, he's going to murder this man. You know what I mean? And then he kind of like catches himself and realizes that everyone's like watching and, you know, that kind of stuff where he's just a loose cannon.
Yeah.
And then, I want Matt to just be doing the weirdest, craziest Matt Hardy stuff you could think of every single week.
Because that's, I don't know. I know everybody's heard enough of my Bray Wyatt Stan musings, so we don't need to go any further. But, all right, is there anything else in the wrestling world that
we should probably talk about Hulk Hogan, brother.
Just
real quick. We should touch on the Hulk Hogan brother situation because he's apparently back in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I don't know if this is not unexpected.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
I
it's
didn't
not.
Think that he was going to be forever shunned from the WWE because he was such a huge part of everything, right? For so long.
So here's the to this day, one of the funniest tweets I've ever read was shout out to Hulk Hogan for proving that. Let me tell you something, brother, was the radio edit.
Let me just ask this,
because like I don't think even those that were the most are still disgusted by Hulk Hogan would say that there's no place for him in wrestling forever. The key is, and really this is, I think, the consensus of the most reasonable disappointment, is that, like, well, what did he do? Like, he was out for a while, but, like, what, how did he atone? Who did he talk to? Like, you know, he did a couple of interviews. Apparently, even when he was apologizing to the people in the back, he spent as much time talking about how you got to be careful what you say because you never know who's recording. There just seems to have been like, you know, look, I'm sure it was psychically damaging for him to be shunned out of a company that has meant so much to his career. But also, like, and then what? What'd you do? What'd you do to get back in everybody's good graces? Because it kind of seems like you just sat around.
Kind of did nothing. That's annoying to me that there's no atonement, really. There's just time served, right? And then when you hear that, apparently there was some big backstage conversation that was also filmed.
Yes.
What? So this was just a photo op? Like that just seems to me super disingenuous. And
well, look,
it makes me not so excited about him coming back.
Here's what my point of view is on it. I'm not a professional wrestler. I don't know about the culture of professional wrestling as much as somebody who has been inside the business. It seems like a fairly particular kind of job, right? So I don't know whether or not, you know, that's all we heard about. We don't know if he went around privately and had conversations with everybody.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What I can say is, while I'm always for pro wrestling drawing from the biggest grouping of people that they possibly can, and certainly having Hulk Hogan involved in some angle could be interesting and exciting, I don't care much for him at no. this point.
No, I don't either. I really do think, I think here's it's, I feel like there's a lot of nostalgia around people like this, where people remember being kids and being, because if you do watch old matches with Hulk,
yeah,
like goddamn, everybody like was so into him, and you yeah. watch him now and you realize that as a kid he was the worst wrestler in like every single match he wrestled. It's, I don't understand, like, you know, I don't understand how he got so, like, it was just the right character at the right time.
He
right
was, look, he's, he right? is, he's not just the biggest icon in wrestling. He's also just a massive piece of Americana, and pro wrestling doesn't have a lot of them. Even with The Rock and Stone Cold, they're like just dudes now. Hulk yeah. Hogan is of an era where it was more, you know, kayfabe, obviously, but is still, he's that guy. He's got the crazy haircut still. He's got the crazy glasses and everything. Like, he still yeah. talks about the dudes and brothers, and like, that's, he's just a walking fucking Wikipedia entry.
At this point, though, to me, it's like, if it was this era, he'd be a friggin' joke, man. Like, it's just, it was at that time, that shit worked. His sure. shtick worked at that time, right? Yeah. And I do feel like, you know, it would not work today. Like, today, well, it would just, people would be like, this is ridiculous.
But also,
he's
but also, like,
up. Are you serious?
There are basketball all-stars that probably couldn't play with, you know, against a bad team in the modern era, right? It's like, all yeah, things yeah. change. All sure. things evolve. He did exactly.
No, I mean, that's
what
he fair enough. And I recognize, like, that's why that's why he is what he is. Like, because at the time it was, you know, it was somewhat revolutionary. Even though he was actually straight up copying a gimmick, but, you know, it's to me, it's like it's, I don't know. It's like, he is not somebody that needs to be as revered as he is when you take everything into context.
Here's all I'm saying.
Like, think about Lance Armstrong. Everyone was so impressed and amazed with what he was doing. And then, you know, 30 years later, you kind of figure out, like, oh, that was what was going on.
That's fine, though. Oh, I'll
I'm not
that.
As impressed.
Good. In your face, France. I hope all those bicycle snobs.
But at the time, it was like, holy crap, this dude is doing the most amazing shit. And you know, he's yeah. only got one ball. And oh, my God. And then, you know, it elevates everything to a new level. But there's a lot of dark underbelly stuff going on.
I'm cool with Hogan when the New Day's cool with Hogan. That's
all
my,
right, you're
that's my
yeah,
stance.
I'm waiting on Xavier Woods to give me the thumbs up.
Because
as soon as he's on up, up, down, down, then I'm back in.
I'm really into Fortnite, dude.
No, Hogan plays like Club Penguin. Like, let's be real here.
Yeah, no,
Hogan's still playing H1Z1, and he's, yeah, he can't catch up. He's like, what is building, brother? I can't build.
I would say, or no, according to Reddit, what's his butt? Mark Henry has been working with Hogan, coming, you know, as he gears up for his return.
Ah,
and okay. According to Mark Henry, the locker room is still pretty much split 50-50 on
whether he should come back or not. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird case, man. It's weird. Like, what he said was just really bad.
Well, and here's,
it wasn't just like a slip of the tongue type of bad, right? Like, it was clearly, this is how he feels about black people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it came across as like, that's the real guy.
No, he
didn't
did
think anyone
like
was hearing him. And listen, he said the real thing that he really feels in that moment.
I know.
It was pretty, pretty brutal.
I have a taxonomic index in my mind of Florida races. I know all stripes. I know all colors. I know I can categorize them all. I've given them all Latin names. That I could write a book about the Florida racist in the wild. He is. You're at a beach bar, right?
Yeah.
And you're having like a cool chat with like an older, you know, dude or something like that. And the next thing you know, he says something really fucked up and racist, and you're like, ah, shit, I'm at a Florida beach bar, aren't I? Oh, so yeah, these guys are wandering around. He's that. I mean, because like the shit he said, it wasn't the N-word. It was like, I wish my daughter was fucking a basketball player. Like, if you're going to date an N-word, you need to date a basketball player because at least they'd be worth money.
Yeah.
It's like, that was some dark shit.
It really was
disturbing shit.
Now, I will say this. When you have ingrained racism, like if I'm going to give him any pass, it's that he's got it. It's clearly something that he's like grown up with and is part of whatever. And now he's a father going through whatever that is as a father when your daughter's dating someone that you think of as that, like that you think of that poorly, right? Like he thinks of them. He thinks of black people as being like less than him, right?
Yes.
Like, and now so I get that he's like blurting out like the worst possible things because this is like him as a father reacting to his own racism. But again, this all makes it all worse. Like everything about it is just like, let me tell you a short story. I know we're running long here, but
that's fine.
When I moved from San Francisco to Texas,
yeah,
I expected to come across casual racism from time to time, right? San Francisco, you're kind of in a bubble. There's still definitely like racism there, you know, obviously. Oakland was a permit Patty or whatever, right? Or whatever. Yep. What was her name? Yep. Anyway.
Oh, it's Addie.
So we moved to, or I moved to Austin. I go to Dallas to hang out with some friends, and we're all in a pool, like hanging out in a swimming pool. And it's a bunch of guys. I know some of the guys pretty well. I don't know all of them. It's five or six guys. We're all white. And we're all in this pool kind of swimming around. And one of the guys just kind of just casually starts saying something about how the N-words he works with don't work as hard as him. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like.
Yeah.
And I remember just like looking. Like, I was like taken aback. Like, holy crap. And then I kind of was like, dude, like, you don't know me. Why do you just think that you're just going to say this and I'm on board, right?
Yeah.
Like I said this to him and he was so shocked
that
someone was kind of like challenging him on this. And it made me realize that in that world, there are guys who think like, if I look around and it's all white faces, I just am in a place where I could drop this, right? And Hogan is that guy, right? Where if he looks around and he thinks no one's watching,
well,
it's all a bunch of white guys with me now.
And specifically,
say what I really feel, and that's what happened there, you know.
And specifically, certainly a non-traditional situation, a non-traditional setting for which he said these things, including the fact that he was sleeping with his friend's wife with or without his consent.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Like,
there's a lot of weird stuff there, man.
There's a lot of Florida layers.
Complicated package.
Yeah, a lot of Florida layers to unpeel.
Yeah,
there.
But also, you know, the most popular wrestler of his time.
Cool when the New Day's cool. When the New Day's cool with Hulk Hogan
all
coming
right.
back.
This is the I won't get married until gay people can get married.
That's
of wrestling and racism.
Basically, it's not something that I ever needed to see. I think it does avoid. He needed to eat some shit. Like,
sure.
To be honest, here's what I would really like to see. I would like if we're doing a documentary, I'd like to see fucking a Hulk Hogan have an honest, uncensored conversation with every black member of that locker room.
Now, if they give me WWE Network special, a la the Hardy special, where it's not pulling punches.
Yeah.
I am watching that shit.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think maybe they know that too.
I'm here for that. I'm here for Hulk having to eat some shit.
Yeah. I would like to watch him have some hat in hand moments for sure.
Yeah. Willie, what you got going on this week?
I will be in Burnett, Texas until Friday. We're staying at a lake house. It's a family event. My grandparents are having their 60th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So I'm going up there. I know, right? That's some shit you don't. That's a very special occasion. So I'll be up there, but it's on a lake. Depending on how good the internet is there and my phone service and everything, I would love to do a couple of IRL streams with some of my family, like boating and jet skiing and whatever the hell activities we're going to be doing up there. So I'm going to try to make that happen. It all kind of depends on how good the net is and if it's at all possible and the quality is not going to be total hell. But so I'll be doing that. There will not be any like Hearthstone streams until I get back. But then once I get back, I'm not going, like, I have no trips for like a while, which I'm very excited about because I'm so sick of just, like, look, they're great. They're fun. Hanging out with you in San Francisco.
Always a blast.
It was a blast. Yeah. That being said, it's after a while, it's tiresome, right? And yeah. you don't want to have to keep washing your clothes and putting them in a suitcase and then washing them and putting them back in a suitcase. You just want to, put them in your dresser, you know?
I'm looking forward to that. Let me tell you something, brother. I agree. That is good to know that you were going to be at the home front.
Yeah.
What deck are you rocking these days?
I was actually just playing a really weird deck that's a zoo deck that uses also eggs, the Devilsaur eggs,
and
cubes, and Skull the Minari, and all sorts of weird stuff. It was pretty fun. Not super successful, so I don't really recommend it. But if you just like to have a good time, man, yeah, check it out.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
I had to kind of make it up, though, because I couldn't find the actual list. But
oh, really? Yeah. Whenever he goes live at twitch.tv/WillyDills.
And at Willie Dills is my Twitter. I'll share that deck list on my Twitter in case anybody wants to play with it.
My name is Justin Robert Young. You can find me, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. That's where we stream this very show every week at 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 o'clock Eastern time. But no more covers unless Trey Warren gets us some covers. So go ahead and hit up the Melodica Maestro, Trey Warren. Hopefully we'll get some more covers coming up. That about wraps it up for this edition of the program, however.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around in wrestling
until
for
next
35
time.
Years, and nobody
for Willie Dills, like I'm Justin Robert
number
Young.
Number one.
900.
Be dialing.
Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hot Rod.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this. Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.